Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. Greetings. It's good to be with you again today. We're going to take some time to talk about giving homage, and we'll talk about our topic for today, read some scripture, have communion together if you want to gather your elements now before we start, and then we'll close with a benediction. So, let's begin our time together with a word of prayer, if we could. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be together. We thank you for all you have done for us through your Son Jesus and in the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for including us in your life, that we can celebrate that today on Ascension Day. And so we ask now, Holy Spirit, that you would manifest Christ more completely to us, write on our hearts and minds what it is that needs to be written there. And we receive all of your gifts with gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen. I was watching a little while ago the coronation of Charles III and Camilla. And just trying to see kind of what was going on there. And I really enjoyed the Archbishop's sermon. It was interesting that he focused on servant leadership, which I felt was very appropriate. I don't know if anyone was paying attention, but I thought it was well said. He pointed out how Jesus was a humble servant. And he was willing to wear the royal robes of suffering and abuse and death instead of the fancy robes most royalty wear, which was kind of in well display that day. So it was just a wonderful reminder of what it really means to be a leader. And Jesus demonstrates that to us so profoundly in his life, his death, his resurrection, ascension. And we're reminded that rulers answer first to Jesus Christ. And they have to remember that the one who is truly in charge is not the ruler themselves. There is a higher power above all to whom they have to answer. And it's good that they answer. You read in the scriptures the story of the king who forgot that whatever he had because it came from God. And he had to spend 7 years of his sanity before he bowed his knee to God as he should have. So, rulers answer to God ultimately for whatever it is they do. The question for today, though, is who do we bow to? I noticed especially as people, the king and queen were exiting the building, that I did not see the nod or bow or the curtsy from a lot of the people that were there. Most of them weren't from England, I don't know, but it was just interesting to me that that's not as important nowadays as it used to be. And they're not actually they're more of a constitutional monarch type ruler, so it's not that it's expected or anything, but it was just kind of interesting to see that. And then the thought that came to me was, what is our response to the one who rules over us, to our response to Jesus as Lord of all? And so the reason this kind of came to me, I know it's ascension, but this was the passage for the New Testament for ascension, and it really kind of spoke this to me because it seems like we need this right now, like in our country and in our different places in the world. We really need this message about what it means to lead and why it is that it's important that Jesus is an ascended Lord And he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for us, and he carries our humanity, our human flesh, in the presence of the Father. That's like significant. So in Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, I happen to use the New American Standard Bible for this. It says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." So, as a good pastor, he prays for his people. He cares about them. It's always good as a leader to care for the people that you're leading, to pray for the people you're leading, to give thanks for them, because really you wouldn't lead unless someone was following you. I'm just saying, you know. And verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. So, how do we come to know the Father and the Son and the Spirit? The only way we can know them, because they are so much other than we are, is if they reveal themselves to us. And they have revealed themselves to us. How? In the person of Jesus Christ. You know, as it says in Hebrews, Jesus is the exact icon or representative or representation or image of the Father. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. Jesus revealed the Father to us, gives us the spirit of wisdom, of revelation in the knowledge of Him. And so we ask God for that because we need it. We need it. Okay, so Paul goes on to say in verse 18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." You know, apart from God's grace, apart from God's enlightenment, we would continue to be in the darkness of evil, sin, and death. We are lost in this place where we just cannot see the truth. But God in Christ has awakened us, has enlightened us, and given us the Spirit so we can be enlightened. So Paul is praying, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe." So Paul's praying for these things for these people. And if you're wanting to know what you can pray for someone, this is a pretty cool thing to pray for somebody, that their eyes would be enlightened, that they begin to understand and see the power and the glory and the wonder and the goodness of God, that they would be enlightened instead of sitting in the darkness. Those are great things to pray for people. But I'm getting off track, sorry. So, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ. So the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So we've been through Jesus' death. We've been through his time in the tomb. We've been through his resurrection. And now we're going to enter into his ascension. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Paul is just being very emphatic about, here is Jesus, the one who is God in human flesh, who is willing to experience even all the indignities of being human, and yet even allowing himself to be killed when he could have walked away from the cross at any moment. He allowed himself to be killed. allowed himself to be put in that grave, went into death for our sake, and then with the Father and the Spirit rose from the grave and then ascended into the presence of the Father. And this is important to understand, that in the presence of the Father now is human flesh. Human flesh, redeemed, restored, transfigured human flesh in the presence of the Father now and forever. That's what Jesus has done. He's brought us as human flesh in face-to-face relationship with the Father and the Spirit. That's pretty profound. That's like saying, wow, how can that be? That we're there with him in his relationship with the Father and the Spirit. And I think that gives him the right to show us and tell us what it means to be human and how we are to live and what it means to live in relationship with the Father, the right relationship with the Father, how to live in right relationship with one another, because he's done it. He's doing it. He is it. He is that thing in the presence of the Father. And he gives the gift of the Spirit in the body of Christ, where the Spirit joins us together as one. We become his body, his presence here in this world, living his life in among everybody. And we begin to pray for others, what, that their eyes might be enlightened. These things that we were talking about earlier to pray for, right? So going on. So we've seen that Jesus now, as God in human flesh, rules over all. He's been placed. He reigns where Adam had given his reign over to Satan. Jesus taken it back, and he reigns over all, everything in this cosmos, everything he's made. He's the Lord over all. He reigns over everything. So with that being the case, you know, how do we go about our life? You know, I was noticing, as I said, that as people were leaving, they didn't always bow to the king and queen. They didn't always curtsy. And maybe they had reason to. Maybe they didn't think, you know, they deserved it. Or maybe it's just they weren't, you know, that wasn't their thing. I don't know. I can't judge. But I'm just saying, it gave me thought. What it made me think of, okay, was this, was here in our case, we have a living Lord, a king over all, who's earned the right through his life, his death, his resurrection, ascension, through being in the presence of the Father, to tell us how, what it means to be human, what it means to live in right relationship with God. What is our response to that? Do we pretend that we're doing okay on Sunday and then go home and live however we want the rest of the week? Or is it something that impacts every part of our life, where all of a sudden we recognize the reality that Jesus is the representative human? He is the one we can look to and say, oh, I get it. That's what it looks like. That's what it means to be in relationship with the Father. That's what, and the Spirit enables us to see that we are God's children. And as God's children, we live like God's children. We act like God's children. We act like we look like God. We talk like God. We try to follow Christ because he's got it together. He knows how it works. And so do we follow Jesus? And that's a good question. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you what? Lay down your life, pick up your cross, and follow me. Well, we're back to that servant leadership thing, that self-sacrificing way of living. Whew. But Jesus goes first. That's the good news. Do we submit to and obey the Spirit? I mean, think about this. God comes in human flesh, sets aside, as it says in Philippians, sets aside the privileges of his divinity, set some aside temporarily to take on our human flesh. So how did he live his life? He lived his life in dependence upon the Father in this spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. He lived by the Spirit. He submitted to the Spirit. He obeyed the Spirit. That's how he was managed to do what he did. And he did it in the Spirit, by the Spirit. And so why is that? Because that's how we were always meant to live, in dependency upon the Father in the Spirit. So the question is, God has sent his Spirit. Do we submit to the Spirit? Do we listen to the Spirit? Do we obey the Spirit? Because, you know, Paul says, if we walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, we won't live by the flesh. We'll make good choices. We'll want to do the right thing. See? So we see Jesus goes first, and then he invites us to participate in his life and how he does it. So one of the things we can do, the kind of a takeaway from today, is pray for your leaders. Pray for leaders in every walk of life. I mean, leading is not for sissies. Take it from one who's done it. It can be a real heavy burden to carry, especially if you care, especially when you do want to serve others, you do want to help others. It is tough. It is hard. It involves a lot of sacrifice, a lot of service. Some leaders just simply don't get it. And so they may be a little misguided. Well, they still need prayed for. Follow leaders as they follow Christ. Some leaders are not going the right direction. And it doesn't mean that you need to go in the wrong direction with them. No, you want to pray for them. You want to serve as much as you can, give as much as you can, but they need to hear the truth. That is true. But pray for leaders and follow them as they follow Christ. And if you are a leader, and I would say for many of us, we are leaders in some way because we have spheres of influence in our life, people that we impact, our children, our friends, our, you know, community, whatever it is, we're leaders. So act like one. Follow Christ first, number one. Follow Christ. And then number two, lead by serving those you lead. Lay down your life. That's tough. But that's what a real leader will do, is being willing to do the hard thing. And that's one of the hardest things that I've had to struggle with. So it's a growing thing, too. We're dependent on Christ. As leaders, remember that our source is not within ourselves. It is the Father through Jesus and the Spirit that we do anything we do, and do it for God's glory. And that's why we want to continue to be reminded that our dependency is upon Christ. We affirm the essentials of our faith, that we died with Christ, we rose with Christ, we share in his glory both now and forever. And notice, when we rise with Christ, we're brought into the presence of the Father in the Spirit. We share in his glory now and forever. It's a wonderful thing that God has done for us in Christ. So we're reminded of that as we take these elements together. So let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for every good gift you give. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray for all of the leaders in our country and elsewhere, leaders in every level of society, Lord, that they may first follow you, and second of all, be servants to those they lead. And help me to do that too, Lord. And we receive these gifts with gratitude and praise in your name, Jesus. Amen. We take the bread, thanking Jesus for his broken body in our behalf. We take wine or grape juice in gratitude for him pouring out his life for us. Thank you, Jesus. Now may our God give you spiritual wisdom and insight flooding your hearts with light and enabling you to understand the confident hope he has given you and the incredible greatness of his power for you who believe. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I hope your week goes well, and may God be with you throughout this week. God bless.